Hallelujah. Indeed, no guilt in life, no power of death, nothing can ever pluck us from the hands of Him who created us. That is our source, our God, our Lord. There's a Hebrew word that describes Him. I love this Hebrew. Our Adonai. I want to welcome you. Adonai means He is the master, He is the maker, and He's the owner. Think about it. Lord in English, L-O-R-D. If you have a Bible, the good old Bible, the good old King James, you will see the differentiation between capital L-O-R-D and then lowercase L-O-R-D. The capital L-O-R-D is where we get the word Yahweh. That is also Jehovah. And then the lowercase L-O-R-D is the Hebrew Adonai, which is the Lord. It means the master, the maker, the owner. Nothing can separate us from the one who is our master, who is our maker, and who owns us. Whatever He owns, He keeps. And whatever is the master of, nothing else can master over. So I want to welcome you. We are broadcasting live from the city of Liverpool, Merseyside, United Kingdom. Today is the 1st of February, second month in the year 2024. Where did January go? Just a few moments ago, it felt like we kept saying Happy New Year, Happy New Year. But seriously, has your year been happy? Has it been new? Do you feel like this year something will change or something has changed? You know what? I bring us a word of encouragement tonight. Wherever you are, you might be in your lowest estate right now, at your lowest ebb. There is a word for you tonight. Right? It's 15 minutes past the hour of 7 p.m. And tonight is going to be a communion and healing service. I trust that the word of the Lord will be sent to you wherever you are, wherever you're watching from. And if you have not shared this and sent this link to someone, please do. You know, someone who might be grieving, someone who might be mourning, someone who might be, you know, feeling sad. Please send this link to them right now. The word of the Lord will be sent to them and they will be healed. And that reminds me, while I'm talking now, let me also lead by example. Someone has come to my mind and I'm going to send this link straight away to them. So you can also do that. We will be taking healing. I mean, we'll be taking communion, which means get your bread ready, symbolic of the body of Jesus that was broken, and get the communion wine ready. So, communion wine, something that just represents the blood of Jesus. So you might have Ribena, you might have grape juice, you might have, you know, even strawberry. Just get something that is symbolic. They are just emblems, but the power of God will come over those emblems tonight. When it's time, we will all take communion together and get some flat bread. If you have, get bread, get, you know, even if you have like cracker biscuit, unleavened bread, just get it. The power of God will be upon this as we will partake together of the body and the blood of Jesus tonight. So let me also, by way of introduction, tell you the word we have received for this particular month, which is the month of February 2024. So I want to welcome you to February. And by the grace of God, we received an instructive word along the lines of worship. You know, this year, God has told us, we believe by the Spirit of God, we received this. that this year, which is a leap year, has 366 days. It is 366 days of worshiping God, my Father, your Father, our Heavenly Father, in spirit and in truth, with all I am and all I have. Listen, it is instructive, it is prophetic, and this is the word of the Lord to us. We cannot miss it, because the Father himself, Jesus said, is seeking for true worshipers, those who will worship him in spirit and in truth. And if you have been sensitive to all the word prophecies that have been coming forth from, you know, trusted vessels, you will see that there's a shift. There is a new level of glory. There is somewhere a kind of God is taking us higher, his people higher, those who will seriously worship him and serve him. It's like there is a contest for the hearts and minds of people, where in the last days we have to get to that place, that Mount Carmel, where we have to choose who is God, the God who is the creator of the heavens and the earth, or we will worship the gods, small G-O-D, man-made. Choose you this day who you will serve. So for February, the word is along the lines of worship again, and is instructive, that is, rejoice in the Lord, and again rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord, and again rejoice, along the lines of worship. It's 366 days of worship, but for February, rejoice in the Lord, and again rejoice. The scriptures are there, Zephaniah chapter 3, verse 17, Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 9, Philippians 4, 4. And we want to, let me just jump. You will get this announcement even at the end again. We want people to create banners. Just create a banner that depicts that word. So we call it the banner challenge. We do this every month. So you can create a banner that shows the theme. Be creative. You can draw, hand-drawn banner to show worship that depicts rejoicing in the Lord, and again rejoicing. Put the scriptures. You can create a digital banner. You can create a hand-drawn banner. Just create something. Be creative. So the banner challenge is open, and we have the deadline for this Saturday, so we barely have 3 days. In fact, let's just say 2 days, tomorrow. And so it's a tight deadline this time, tomorrow, Friday, and Saturday. We want these banners in by 8 p.m. How do you send it? Send it to that email address, info@loveassembly.co.uk, or you can text it by WhatsApp to that number on the screen, 07877632207. We will talk about this also, Alpha. After during the announcement. But tonight, let us go to the place of communion. And can I just ask that we pray? Father, thank you. We have come to you tonight because you said we should come. Lord Jesus, you said when those who labor, those who are heavy laden, should come to you, you said you will make our yoke easy, you will make our burden light. We should come to learn of you. You said you will destroy our yokes. You will exchange. We will come. You will take away our heavy yokes, our evil yokes, and make it light for us. And you will remove burdens, heavy laden burdens upon our lives. You will make them also light. In the name of Jesus, we come to you by the blood of Jesus tonight. Father, send your word to us. Heal us. Deliver us from destruction. Send your word that will comfort anyone who is mourning. Say those who mourn in Zion. Send your word to the barren. Send your word, Lord, to the dry land. Send your word to the weak, to the feeble. Send your word to those who are on the verge of giving up. Father, thank you. Because you are good, you know the end from the beginning. And thank you, Holy Spirit, as you brood upon our hearts, turn every heart into a good ground. As the word comes forth, confirm the word with signs following. Let there be healing and deliverance tonight. Let, as it is written, the word of the Lord not return without accomplishing what God pleases in every individual's life, everyone joining in tonight for your glory and praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen and amen. Now, I am bringing this word I received from the Lord to us tonight of this communion service. And I received it in form of a word of encouragement to me personally, to my family, and to I'm praying the Holy Spirit will also convey this word to a very, very dear family to us, a covenant brother, covenant friend, a family that we love so dearly. They love us. I know that's genuine. When God just brings very few people into your lives and you know they are there not just for a season, not just for a reason, but for life. And the word I received is to tell somebody to rejoice in the Lord, because it shall not end in sorrow, but in joy. I repeat, rejoice in the Lord. It shall not end in sorrow, but in joy. Listen, you might be going through some kind of pain or sorrow right now. That's not the end. The end is not the sorrow. You see, that sorrow will turn into joy in the name of Jesus. Now, when we look at the word rejoice, as human beings, we are programmed. We have a default mode. We rejoice only or when we are in anticipation that something is about to end well or something has ended well. You've just won a contract. You've just had that baby. You've just got that dream job. Your business has turned around. Everything is gone well. You jump up, you throw a party. You know, I was reading recently about someone who said the person went somewhere and shut the place down, literally shut an island down just to celebrate themselves. And of course, you know, people talked and talked and talked and talked, and this person reacted that, look, this is about me. And I don't care what anybody thinks. I am celebrating me. This is me. I love to celebrate me. And thank you for talking about me. Thank you for making me famous. I don't care what anybody thinks. This is me, and I want to celebrate. The person was happy. The person was rejoicing because they just hit a certain, you know, landmark in their lives. So naturally, as human beings, we are programmed to only rejoice or want to rejoice, or plan to rejoice when something happens. Something good, something awesome, something glorious. We rejoice. We get up, we rejoice. You know, the definition of rejoice itself is very interesting. The definition of rejoice actually means to be glad. When are we glad usually? We're not glad when something makes us sad, do we? No. We're glad when something good happens. To rejoice means to leap, to spring, to be bright, to be cheerful, to be glad greatly, to display joy. That is what it means to rejoice. And in the book of Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, let's start with that scripture, because that scripture is so instructive. The scripture sounds more like a command. Do you know what the Bible says in Philippians chapter 4? And I believe that's Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. Let's go there. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4. It's on that banner. It's one of the scriptures on that banner. It says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Is it Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4? Please let's confirm that. Yes, it is. Look at it. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I will say, rejoice. That is not a suggestion. If you look at the emphasis and the exclamation mark at the end, it is more like a command that we should rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say, rejoice. But then, there is something that the Lord began to make me see. If we go to John chapter 16, the Lord Jesus, with whom we are remembering tonight, because communion is about bringing us to that place of remembrance, to remind us of everything the Lord Jesus has said. He says, do this when we take the bread that represents his body, the wine, fruit of the vine that represents his blood. Do this in remembrance of me. Whenever you do this, remember what I've said. Remember what I stand for. Remember what I represent. That's what the Lord is saying. Now, the Lord began to say in John chapter 16, very interesting. He was having this discussion. This was towards the latter end of the physical ministry of the Lord Jesus. In John chapter 17, he prayed, there's this saying that if you really want to know the heart of a dying man, the wishes of a dying man is usually when they are close to death. That's when a lot of things come out. That's when they tell you, this is what should happen after I go. So in John chapter 16, before John chapter 17, where Jesus was praying for the believers, for the church, for those who would believe to be one, in 16, he begins to prepare them. He said, these things I've spoken to you, right? That you should not be made to stumble. Listen, he begins to tell his disciples and those of us who believe in Jesus what will happen to us. They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming out that whoever kills you will think that he offers God service. If you look around the world today, Christians have been killed, butchered, slaughtered. The Lord Jesus said so. But then is this not contradictory? That we should always rejoice? Rejoice? We're losing. We're dying. We're being killed. We're being persecuted. What's the response the Lord is saying? To rejoice? He says, and these things they will do to you because they have not known the Father nor me. He now says in verse 4, but these things I have told you, that when the time comes, you may remember that I told you of them. And these things I did not say to you at the beginning. Listen, because I was with you, right? And he now begins to introduce someone from verse number 5. Who is this person the Lord begins to introduce? Come with me. Some of us have read that before. He says, but now I go away to him who sent me, and none of you ask me, where are you going? But because I have said these things to you, sorrow has filled your hearts. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come. This is very interesting. He calls him the Helper. He will not come. You see, that word Helper there is also the Holy Spirit. Is also a very strong characteristic, nature and ability of the Holy Spirit. The Comforter. The Comforter. One translation also calls him the Advocate. He said, it is to your advantage that I should go. You know, Jesus is going himself, is going to create a vacuum and sorrow. But the saying is, look, it's better for me to go so that, you know, you will feel sorrowful that I'm going, but it's to your advantage. The helper will not come to you if I don't go. But if I depart, then I will send him to you. Let us stop there. Let us stop there. We're trying to look at the context in which the Lord is instructing us to rejoice. Is he saying we should rejoice when everything is good? When everything works fine? Okay, let's go down quickly. Let's go to verse 20 and 22. John chapter 16, from verse 20 to 22. The same one, if you read it in context, but let's just jump to verse 20 to 22. It says, most assuredly I say to you, you will weep and lament. Wait a minute. I thought he said we should rejoice in the Lord always and always rejoice. And now he's telling us we're going to weep, we're going to lament, and the world will rejoice. Come on. You will be sorrowful, but glory be to God. Hallelujah. It does not end with sorrow. Look at the next line. But your sorrow will be turned into joy. Your sorrow will be turned into joy. Let me emphasize that, because that is what we're talking about tonight, that rejoice in the Lord, it shall not end in sorrow, but in joy. So we're going to have all these things happen to us in life. We're going to have people thinking they're doing God justice by killing, by persecuting. Things are going to happen to us because we believe in Jesus, because we follow Jesus. We will weep, we will lament, and the world will be rejoicing over us that, yes, good for them. Let's now see, like they mocked Jesus on the cross. Did he not say God was his father? All right, let him come down now from the cross. Let him come. Let him come down. Let's see. Let's go down to verse 31 and 33. Okay, I'm just jumping because I just want us to see that the end is not sorrow. Jesus now answered them because they were asking him, you're telling us all these things. You're making us feel so bad, right? And he's asking them, after everything I've said, do you now believe? Believe what? He now says, indeed, the hour is coming. Yes, has now come. You will be scattered. Oh, come on. It's getting worse, people. You will be scattered, each to his own. You will leave me alone, yet I'm not alone because the Father is with me. Let's go to verse 33. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. But in the world, you will have tribulation. Look at it again, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. It does not end in the bad news. It does not end with the sorrow. The sorrow turns into joy. You see, that is the irony when the Lord is telling us to rejoice. And I began to have an understanding, because I am coming from a place of mourning myself. And what I'm sharing with us tonight is what the Lord has been dealing with me, especially today. You know, ahead of time, this is why I love the Holy Spirit and I love the Lord. He's called Alpha Omega. It means the beginning and is the ending. God knows the end from the beginning. Because God knows the end from the beginning, he comes at the beginning to tell us to rejoice. Do you know why? And at the beginning, it's always not palatable. We will see parallel scriptures. The beginning is always either, when you look at Genesis chapter 1, verse 1 to 3, chaotic, empty, dark. That is the beginning. But when God shows up, it turns, the one who is the ending, turns what was chaotic, empty, rough, dark, horrible, sorrowful at the beginning, he turns it around to joy. That is why he can tell us, look, rejoice, I'm coming. You know, John chapter 10, verse 10. I love that scripture again. I had understanding of this scripture also. It says the thief will come. The thief will come. He will steal. He will kill. He will destroy. But then you know what? I am also coming. I have also come. So who comes first? The one who wants to steal your joy. The one who wants to kill, the one who wants to destroy, and probably has begun to wreak havoc over your life. But that's not the end. The sorrow, the tears, the pain, the shame, the one who comes after is the joy giver. He is Jehovah, the end and the beginning, the Alpha and the Omega. He will come to end it. He will turn it around. Remember the story of Job. Job started with sorrow. The latter end of Job, you know what happened. He says, rejoice. Again, I say rejoice. Why? The sorrow you're going through right now is not the end. It will turn around into joy. It will turn around into joy because the joy giver will show up. So, the context in which God is always telling us to rejoice is not because something awesome has happened. If you're waiting to rejoice when something good happens, then you are not really understanding the context in which God is always telling us to always rejoice. You know, my wife and I are grieving with a family currently right now. Yesterday got a very, very sad news of few friends we have, a pastor, a man of God, and his wife, known them for years. We've lived together, cried together, you know, been there for one another. We are literally like a covenant family. For some of us who are in Love Assembly, old enough will know this couple. You know, never used to miss any of our retreats in those days when we used to be in 8 to 10 metal parade. You know, she will come around, the wife spends that annual retreat, you know, with us. You know, got news yesterday, just yesterday. And the story goes from what she told me at around 2 a.m. this morning. My friend, a pastor, brother, covenant brother, they had a whole night session from 12 midnight. They decide to begin to worship, to thank, to praise God. I mean, praise, worship, give thanks to God from 12 midnight into the early hours of the morning at 5 a.m. And then she shared with me that all of a sudden, you know, a pastor friend, the husband, said, let's do a selfie together. A selfie in the middle of the night, we're doing praise and worship. Okay. Flips out the phone. They do a selfie, the worship, the praise, the thank God. She gets up and she said she was going up to go start getting the daughter ready. And you need to know the testimony of this couple. They waited 18 good years after marriage. God came through for them and they had a daughter, glorious daughter. You know, rejoicing, just about some few days ago, you know, he caught up with me with my age. I'm just, you know, some a year older than him. So he turned 55 years old. We were texting, celebrating his 50th birthday. The wife goes up, leaves him downstairs. She goes up and suddenly heard, you know, a commotion downstairs, you know, someone staying with them, cried out. She goes back downstairs. The husband she just left, my pastor friend, covenant brother, was on the floor. His eyes had turned. He had gone. When I say gone, he passed away. Prayed, called, took him to the hospital, dead on arrival. What do you want to say about that? This is a moment to just pause and reflect. But the Lord began to speak to me because we are just still in a state of shock. And the wife told me that the husband saw a glory. The glory was too much that he just, no, it's better for him to depart, be in this glory than be in this earth. You know, the irony of this is God is now saying we should rejoice. And I'm sending this word out to, you know, our friend, our sister. It's so ironical that what is happening, nobody wishes it to happen. We have questions, we cannot question God. This same family, when we had our sorrow, our pain in the early years of our marriage, were the people, especially my good friend and brother, the pastor, that encouraged my wife when we lost our own baby 24 years ago. What do we want to say to these things, people? And God is saying, rejoice, rejoice. And again, I say, rejoice, rejoice. And the Holy Spirit began to make me to understand that look at life, look at the scriptures. Who is God saying to rejoice? In the context of rejoicing, God is not telling us to rejoice because we've just won the lottery, to rejoice because perfect things are going well, children are fine, wife, children, you know, everything. The context of God's rejoicing, he says, rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. Who is he? The one who knows the end from the beginning. The one who knows that you may sorrow right now, but that sorrow will turn to joy. Our brother has gone to glory. Indeed, transited to glory. I sat, I meditated, I've wept, and I thought, this is a gentle reminder that there's something called eternal life. There's a place called heaven. Jesus was telling his disciples there, I am going, and I'm going to prepare a place for you in my Father's house. Someone worshiping, praising, and translated to glory. Worshiping, thanking. And God is instructing us 366 days of worship. Listen, people, the devil will always try to come to make us not to worship, to give us every reason not to praise God, not to worship, not to serve. Give us reasons for God who knows the end from the beginning, who knows that this world we live in is temporal, that there's a better place where he wants to take us to. The Bible says, as many as received the Lord Jesus, he gave them the power to become the sons of God. There is a place, a better place, a higher place. But listen, in this life, and God began to show me so many things, examples from the scriptures and people I know who are still alive, how he turns their story from sorrow and makes sure it doesn't end with sorrow. Look at Job. Look at the latter end of Job. It did not end in sorrow. Job lost everything at the start. He turned it around. The Lord God blessed him. The latter days of Job more than his beginning. What was his beginning like? The beginning in Job chapter 1 was a horrible, sorrowful beginning. But the glory of the latter end. And the Lord was reminding me, you know, God bless you. I saw some comments there from the Kalus. Look at your own story. Look at your story. We cried. We wept. The woman carries a child in her womb and the child, you know, loses the pregnancy. A fetus, 5 months plus. We wept. But glory be to God, God told me today we're rejoicing because the same God has blessed you with a daisy. He started with sorrow, but God will always turn our sorrows to joy. I want to encourage someone tonight. You are sorrowing. You are in pain. Something has been lost. Come on. The Lord is saying, I have told you these things. I'm reading from the Amplified Version. So that in me you may have perfect peace. In the world, you will have tribulation and distress and suffering. This is the Amplified Version of John chapter 16 that I just read to us. But be courageous. Be confident. Be undaunted. Be filled with joy. I have overcome the world. My conquest is accomplished. My victory abiding. Look, rejoice in the Lord. Our rejoicing is in the Lord. The world will throw things at us. The enemy will come and start things for us with sorrow. Maybe you've started this year on a sorrowful level. Listen, people, it will turn to joy with God. God will not leave us to end in sorrow. Never. Never. Isaiah chapter 61. Isaiah chapter 61. This is very interesting. He says from verse 2, it says to proclaim. I'm here tonight to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord, the day of vengeance of our God. Look at it. To comfort all who mourn. He begins with mourning, but the comforter will come and turn your mourning into joy. He says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called the trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, look at it, at the end of the day, that he may be glorified. He says they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. If you look at this scripture very well, from verse 2, mourning is the start. You mourn, but it says comfort comes after mourning. In verse 3, it says there will be ashes first, but then beauty. The ashes turns to beauty. He brings beauty out of the ashes. The oil of joy for mourning. You mourn. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. It starts with the spirit of heaviness. But there's an exchange. The exchange will be a garment of praise. You may right now have a garment, a spirit, a heaviness upon you. It shall turn into joy. It does not end with, God will not end it with sorrow. God will not leave you in that place of sorrow. There is an end, There is the glory of the latter end. Listen, rejoice. Rejoice again. I say rejoice. If you look at Psalm 126, it's from verse 1 to 6. What does it say? If you look at it also in a reverse, what engineers will call reverse engineering, it says, when the Lord brought back the captivity. Stop there in verse 1. We are like them who dream. What did it start with? It started with captivity. It always starts on a sorrowful level, but it will not end with captivity. It will turn around into joy. It will be like a dream. If you look at it, it says those who sow in tears, they will come forth. They will reap in joy. In that Psalm 126, it started in tears, but it ended in joy. I've come to encourage you. Look at Isaiah chapter 54. Another ironical statement the Lord is saying is, look at who the Lord is saying to sing in Isaiah chapter 51 from verse 1. Come with me to Isaiah 51 verse 1. You are going through any negative situation right now, the answer is to rejoice in the Lord. Isaiah chapter 54. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 54. If you can bring it up on the screen, or if you have your Bible, it starts on a negative, but it ends on the positive. It starts with tears. It ends with joy. Listen, God will not leave you in the same state that he met you. He takes a beggar. The beggar starts from the dunghill. He makes him to sit among princes. Listen, this world is temporary. Very, very temporary. Isaiah chapter 54, if we can find that so that people can see it, or if you go to your own scriptures yourself, who is the Lord saying to sing? He says, sing, O barren. Is that not an irony? The person who is barren to sing? Give me a break, but not the Lord. You who have not born, break forth into singing. Cry aloud. You who have not labored with child. He's not saying wait. Please leave it in that first stanza. Right? Don't wait until your barrenness turns to fruitfulness. Because the barrenness, the one who is the Alpha and Omega knows you will not end. It will not, you are not going to be in that state forever. It's going to transform you. But sing. Break forth into singing. Cry aloud. That is the time to rejoice. The Lord was telling me, I'm not asking you to rejoice because something good has happened. Rejoice and something good will happen. Can I repeat that? The Lord is saying, I'm not asking you to rejoice because something good has happened. No, I am asking you to rejoice even while something bad has happened. And you rejoice. I'm asking you to rejoice because something good will happen. It will turn and end in praise. It will turn and end in joy. The Bible tells us if the princes of this world had known, they would not have crucified the King of Glory. They thought it was the end. Yeah, let's come destroy. Let's kill. Let's take Jesus out of the equation. Do you know what? He raised champions to glory. And at the end of the age, you and I will spend eternal life with him. Eternal life. That is it. Thank you, Ezekiel Uriam. Please bring his comment back. Bring his comment back. He has escaped that second death. He will rejoice in tears. He will wipe, at which he will wipe off our face. That is the glory of God, people. The glory of the latter end surpasses the former. Look at Isaiah 54 again. He says, you who have not labored with child, for more, when you look at it, are the children of the desolate than the children of the married man, says the Lord. Enlarge the place of your tent. Let them stretch out the curtains of the dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. For you shall expand to the right, to the left, your descendants will inherit the nations and make the desolate cities inhabit. They were first of all desolate. Now, verse 4, here's the word of the Lord. We will go to the communion table tonight. We are going to the communion table rejoicing. It says, do not fear, for you will not be ashamed, neither be disgraced. Are you going to shame right now? That shame, he says, for your shame, look at it. That is the reverse again. You are in shame right now, but he says, for your shame, I will give you double. That's the promise of the Lord. He said, you will not be disgraced, for you will not be put to shame. Look at it. You will forget the shame of your... That means there was, first of all, shame. And will not remember the reproach of a widowhood, which means there was a reproach, there was widowhood. Listen, people, the glory of the latter end surpasses the former. Whatever is your situation right now, God Almighty will turn it around. It shall end in praise. It shall end in praise. It shall end in praise. Let me read Zephaniah chapter 3. God had given us this word. I did not really understand it until now. Gave us this scripture. Gave it to me. I've been meditating. I've sent it to so many people, especially in December. Some of you will check out some people I reached out to. I sent them this same Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 3. And I will read from verse 16 to verse 20. It says, in that day it shall be said to Jerusalem, do not fear, Zion, let not your hands be weak. The Lord your God, in your midst, the mighty one will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you with his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Verse 18. I will gather, look at it now, those who sorrow over the appointed assembly. So it started with sorrow. They say, who are among you to whom reproach is a burden? They are reproach. You are going through some reproach. Behold, at that time, I will deal with all who afflict you. I will save the lame. That means they were lame. They were first lame, but salvation is coming. And gather those who are driven out. That means they were driven out. Is that your situation right now? Are you paralyzed? It says, and I will appoint them for praise and for fame in every land where they were put to shame. Listen, at that time, I will bring you back. Even at that time, I will gather you, for I will give you fame and praise among all the peoples of the earth, when I return your captives before your eyes, says the Lord. It started in sorrow, but God turns the sorrow. He turns it around, and it will end in joy. I've come to tell somebody, listen, listen, and listen. The end is not the sorrow, the pain, the shame, the widowhood you might find yourself in right now. That is not the end. That sorrow, the Lord shall turn into joy. Listen, he makes all things work together for the good of those who love him, for those who are called according to his purpose. Rejoice in the Lord again. Rejoice. It shall turn from sorrow into joy. Shall we begin to pray right now? That's right. He has the final say. He has the final say. Can we begin to rejoice over the one who has the final say? I remember many years ago, the Lord spoke to me. I was going through the darkest moments of my life. He's made me right now not to be afraid when things don't work out anymore, the Lord spoke to me, and I'm saying this by the Spirit of God as I'm being reminded. This is what the Lord told me specifically, and please put your name. This is what the Lord said, Fola, you will not be in this situation forever. You will not be in this situation forever. This dark situation you are in, the Lord, it is not possible that this is the situation you will end up with forever. And I'm telling somebody, put your name. Whatever sorrow, pain you're going through right now, you will not be in that situation forever. Not with the Lord. The Lord is good. His mercies endures forever. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of healing to someone tonight. Let us go before him. And let's begin to rejoice in the Lord. We're not rejoicing for the sorrow. We're not rejoicing for the pain. We're not rejoicing over the death, over the transition. We are rejoicing because the Lord, he is God. God Almighty has the final say. The end, he knows from the beginning, and he will never allow us to go through what he knows he has not made provision for us to handle. In the name of Jesus, Father, we come to you tonight, and I thank you for encouraging me. And I thank you that in the same comfort you're comforting us right now, you are comforting everyone, Lord, on this channel, on this broadcast, everyone hearing this word, that you are God, you are good, you will never leave us in the place of sorrow. The end shall be joy. The end, the glory of the latter end, will surpass the former, the present. Father, thank you for reminding us tonight. Oh, thank you. Lord, I pray for my sister. Lord, our sister, if I please, Lord, as you let her know the comforter. Let her daughter, Zoe, know you now like never before. Father, in the name of Jesus, I make mention of their name. Call, lift them up in prayers. Please, if you can join us in prayer, and just pray for this family I told you about. It shall turn into joy. This sorrow shall turn into joy. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Blessed be your name forever. And as many as are here mourning, as many as are here in any pain, in any sorrow, thank you for reminding us that it will not end in the place of sorrow. It will turn around into joy. You are a God who makes all things work together for good. You are turning everything around. Everything around. Blessed be the name of the Lord. From the rising of the sun to the going down of the same, Lord, release your grace. Release the garment. Begin, let there be an exchange right now, Lord. An exchange of garments. An exchange of garments. The spirit of heaviness. The garment, Lord, of depression, let them be exchanged for a garment of praise, a garment of joy. Oh, the Bible talks about you, Lord. You saw the joy ahead, the joy that was set before you. Open our eyes to see where this will end, the joy that will end this. You despise the shame. You endure the cross. Give us the same grace in the name of Jesus to know that it will turn around. The sorrow will turn to joy. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Father, thank you. Sing, O barren. Sing that which is not bearing right now. Sing, you desolate. Rejoice in the Lord. Again, I say, rejoice. 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 Again, I say, rejoice. Receive the strength to rejoice. Receive the Holy Spirit right now. The comforter, the advocate, the strengthener, the teacher, the guide, the one who shows us things to come, the one who is showing you right now that this is not your end. This can never be your end. This is not the end. The shame, the sorrow, the pain is not the end. Father, thank you. Oh, Holy Spirit, thank you. Lord, do that which only you can do. Take all the glory. Let's go to the place of communion. The communion is instituted by the Lord Jesus to replace what used to be the Passover, to remind the children of Israel they started in slavery, they started in captivity, they started in a place that was where they were badly, horribly enslaved and treated. But the night came, the Lord showed up. Their situation turned around and they had the Passover. The angel of death came, passed over. When I see the blood, I will pass over. Father, thank you that you sent your son, the Lord Jesus. And Lord, we are reminded that this will soon pass. Whatever every one of us is going through right now, we are reminded it will turn into joy. Lord Jesus, thank you. As we partake of your body to remind us that it was broken, battered, so that by your stripes there can be healing. So that by the shedding of your blood there can be forgiveness of sins, forgiveness of every iniquity, and healing of every disease. This is the benefit you daily load us with. We are reminded again tonight in the name of Jesus. Can I ask that you take the bread, and I will read from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. So if you can get the bread right now and begin to just rejoice, people, sing, O barren, sing. Rejoice again, rejoice. Why? Because the one who knows the end from the beginning is showing you the end. This is not your end. This is not your end, says the Lord. This, you will never, it is impossible that you are in this same situation and condition that you are in, says the Lord. For as long as I live, said the Lord, as long as you are alive, and I cannot die, says the Spirit of the God of the Lord. For as long as you are alive, have I not said that my goodness and my mercy will follow you all the days of your life? My goodness and my mercy follows you this day and will turn things around for your good. Keep on loving me, says the Lord. Keep receiving the spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Let your mind that was troubled come to rest. In this world, yes, tribulation, but rejoice. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, saith the Lord. I have overcome, and you will overcome. I will take you. Underneath you are my everlasting arms. I'm your eternal God. Make me your home. I've made you my dwelling place, saith the Lord. Your body is my temple. The spirit of love, of power, and a sound mind. Spirit of counsel, spirit of fear of the Lord, spirit of wisdom come upon you. Receive direction, receive healing, receive strength in the name of Jesus. 1 Corinthians 11:23, we will eat together and drink together right now. Thank you. Healing, oh, thank you. Healing is taking place right now. Oh, glory be to God. I literally felt like the word of God anchoring a troubled soul right now. Your soul was heavily troubled. Rejoice, 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 rejoice. God is showing someone the glory at the end, the glory at the end. Listen, it is worth it. You will thank God and begin to thank him now. Begin to rejoice now. I've received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, he took bread. So please, let's take the bread, representing the body of Jesus. The Bible says he blessed the bread and he broke it Please, let's go to the next scripture. And when he had given thanks, he broke and said, "Take it. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as we break this bread tonight, the body of Jesus broken for us, I speak and decree over your life, burdens, yokes are broken off your shoulder, burdens are lifted off your shoulder, yokes are broken off your neck. Everything the enemy thought and the world is rejoicing over your pain, God comes back to remind you it will end in joy. You are lifted. Arise and shine. The yoke is broken. The burden is lifted in Jesus' name. He says, "Take it. This is my body which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Please go ahead and eat. Receive strength right now to begin to rejoice. Receive strength to rejoice. And in the same manner, he took the cup. Please bring the cup representing the blood of Jesus. And he's reminding us, "I've made a new covenant. This is the new covenant in my blood. It's a covenant of love. It's a covenant of peace. It's a covenant of restoration, restitution, resurrection. It's a covenant that he who is the Most High, the God Almighty, can turn everything around. The Creator, the Lord, the Master, Owner is still in charge." Says, "This is the cup. This is the new covenant in my blood," reminding us all our sins are forgiven and every disease healed. Tonight, receive as you drink this, say, "Do this in remembrance of me. I am the Lord that has healed you. I am the Lord that has turned your captivity around." Please, let's drink. Thank you, Lord. Can we just take a moment and begin to rejoice? And how do we rejoice? Thank him. Begin to thank him like it has happened, because that is what will happen. Rejoice. Rejoice, not because it has happened. Rejoice because it will happen in the name of Jesus. Your shame, he will replace with double honor. Your captivity, he will restore. It will be like a dream. Rejoice. Father, we rejoice in you. We thank you. Great things you've taught us, great things you've done. And Lord, I want to bless your holy name. I want to thank you for replacing our sorrows. I want to thank you. I want to thank you. We are glad. We are glad. Lord, we just thank you, for your joy is our strength. Thank you for bringing strength back, restoring hope, restoring humanity, taking that thought of suicide away and bringing the thought of life. Father, thank you. Oh, glory be to your name. We rejoice, and I rejoice with everyone tonight, Lord. And as you have said in your word, let me remind somebody, Zephaniah chapter 3, the Lord himself is rejoicing over you. If you can bring that scripture up, Zephaniah chapter 3, I think it's verse 18 or 20 or 19, to just see the Lord himself right now is asking you to join him because he is rejoicing over you. Have we seen that scripture? I will gather those who sorrow over, I think it's verse 19 or 20, where it says, he rejoices over us with singing. The Lord himself is rejoicing. Okay, over us. Let's check it very well, because everyone needs to see this and read this. Maybe you need to read it aloud to yourself. Zephaniah chapter 3. The Lord God himself will rejoice over you and is rejoicing over you. Verse 17. The Lord your God is in your midst. The mighty one he will save. He will rejoice over you with gladness. He will quiet you in his love. He will rejoice over you with singing. Join the Lord and rejoice in the Lord, because he's rejoicing over you. Father, thank you. Blessed be your name forevermore. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. And amen. And amen. God bless you.